NBC presents Short Story. Tonight, James Aswell. He's been a journalist, a commentator on the turbulent politics of the Deep South, with all their overtones of passion and violence. And out of this background, at least in good part out of this background, he's become a fiction writer, an expert in the form of the short story, James Aswell. Tonight we bring you one of his most compelling short stories, a story set in the dank heart of his Southland, Shadow of Evil. But first, a word from the United States Marine Corps. When a young man enters any of the armed services today, he undergoes a period of basic training in which he learns the fundamentals of his service. Probably the best known of these basic training courses is the Marine Corps' famous boot camp. It's at boot camp that he first begins to understand what the Marine Corps is, why it's different from other military organizations, why the Marine is proud of his outfit. In studying the military history and traditions of his Corps, he discovers many things the history books never told him. More important, he begins to see that he has become part of a great institution, a way of living and a way of fighting of which every American is very proud. Here now, Shadow of Evil by James Aswell.
The dawn is cool and full of promise, and the promise is false. This should be the happiest of days for me. And yet, even now, while my husband loads the car for the trip to Capital City, I feel faint spectral shocks. And in the bright dawn, the shadow of evil is upon me.
Clary?
Yes, Steve?
Well, are you going to stay up there on the porch all day, honey? Come on, come on. The car's all packed.
Coming.
Did you lock the door?
Yes, Governor.
Well, hold on to your hat, lady. This is it.
The forest lies 200 suffocating glare-flashed miles of highway to Capital City. This is the Glory Road. The end of the big dream for Steve. Yes, most certainly the end of some dream.
You happy, honey?
Well, what woman wouldn't be happy at the thought of her husband running for governor?
Well, you seem kind of quiet. You're going to be the governor's wife, honey. The first lady. Don't that mean anything?
The governor's wife.
You're proud of me?
Proud is proud. A little frightened, too, Steve.
Hey, honey. I haven't had a drink for 8 months. You know what that means?
I do, Steve. It's wonderful.
Oh, I got it licked three ways, honey.
Well, it was you who did it, Steve, not the doctor.
Well, maybe, maybe. But you can bet your boots that Kanga knows it. Yes, sir, I've got it licked, or he wouldn't have asked me to run on the machine ticket. How about a kiss, honey? Oh, I'm going to need you, Clary. I'm going to need you to help me.
Yes, Steve, I know. Is this why I'm afraid? Is it remembering? It was always just one, honey. Then the brawls and disappearance for days and weeks. And then at home, Steve crawling around the house, begging for a drink, whimpering like a baby. And the inevitable finale in the rest home in the neighboring state. Is it over? See how he rubs the scar on his wrist? He does that when he's upset.
Do you realize, Mrs. Lenahan, that you and me have got a doggone good chance of living in the governor's mansion for the next 4 years?
Yes.
Well, doesn't it give you a bang, woman? Clary, what on earth are you dreaming about?
Funny, I was just remembering when we first met at Central State.
Oh, Lord. Lord, we were a couple of crazy kids.
You were going to have a band and I was going to be your vocalist, remember?
Yeah, yeah. Shucks, that was kid stuff. That was terrible junk, Lee.
Was it, Steve?
You know it was. I'm fool, I swear. Did you see that truck almost run me off the road? Doggone. Light me a cigarette, will you, Lee?
Yes, darling.
Yeah, I reckon politics runs in our blood. I got elected to the State House of Representatives easy enough, didn't I? Well, With the right kind of a publicity manager, I could... Say. Say, what about that friend of yours, honey? You know, the fellow that used to teach at Central State and then went into the newspaper business? What was his name?
Hugh.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Hugh Kempton. What do you think of Hugh Kempton, honey?
What do I think of Hugh Kempton? What do I think of my love? My terrible, doomed, clandestine love. Oh, Steve, if you knew, if you only knew.
Well, what do you think of Hugh Kempton?
Hmm?
Oh, honest, Ree, you're someplace else this morning. I can't seem to reach you.
I'm sorry, dear. It's just that I'm so excited about all this.
Yeah. Look, I got a mission here, honey.
In this dirty little town?
Well, this is the kind of dirty little town that wins elections, honey. Come on.
Across the dusty little square toward a lone pine building where a fat man with a stubble beard waddles off the porch.
Hi, Mr. Steve. I see you got my postage card.
You bet I did. How's Hood?
He ain't no better. He's sick with worrying, too.
Well, we're going to fix that, sure. Claire, honey, I want you to meet my good friend, Pete Mastick.
Pleased to meet you, ma'am. I know Steve's father. He was a fine man. This way. Come on in.
I'm not going to faint. The air is gagging, sour. The room is disordered. The man in the rocking chair is wizened and small. His head sits crookedly on a withered body. He has any age, beyond 50.
This is Mr. Lenahan, Hood.
Yeah, I know who it is. Yeah. Is this your Mrs. Steve?
That's right, Hood. Honey, this is my good friend Hood, Master. Well, he just about runs politics in this here part of the state.
You lost 17 votes for Carl out of 180 last election. You tell him that when you see him, Steve. I want him to know.
Oh, the governor knows you're a great friend of his, Hood.
Excuse me for not getting up. I've been sick as a dog.
That ain't no lie.
You know I'm a king of men, Steve. Always was. But I supported your dad last time I run. Yeah, he was the smartest and greatest senator this state ever had. If you have as good a
What's
man...
What's on your mind, Herb?
And now, suddenly I understand something about my husband. How many times, Steve, have you been compared and found wanting?
Yeah, he broke the mold when old Senator Lenahan died. King is going to run you for governor, I hear.
Well, it isn't set yet.
You'll win. Your poor name. Will you back your boy?
What is it you wanted, Hood?
I want you to do something for me.
Well, sure, Hood. You know me.
My boy, Willie. Trying to take him away in this new draft. I want you to fix it with Carl.
What? Well, Hood, I can't do a thing like that.
Oh, Carl can do it in 5 minutes. I've done a lot for Carl, and by thunder, I want this fever.
I'll see, Hood. I'll most definitely see.
Don't see. You tell Carl King. C.K. Fenner is chairman of the draft board. Yours, Carl, seen it to a truck deal some years back.
All right, Hood. All right, I'll take it up with the governor.
Yeah, see you do. We're going to help elect you, boy. But you got to pull with us. You know what I mean?
Well, what'd you think of Hood, Master?
He ought to bathe.
Oh, you'll get used to him.
I think not. Are you going to get his son off?
Well, you have to kid him along. That's politics, honey.
Steve, suppose you lose.
I can't lose. I feel it in my bones.
Suppose.
Oh, Clara, you talk like a doggone fool. Don't you realize I'm set up to be governor of the state? Good Lord, woman, don't you know what this means to you and me both? Quit fighting me all the time. For Pete's sake, let me be.
All right. We drive on in silence. I try to sleep. But all I can think about is the postcard I sent to Hugh, telling him that Steve and I would be in Capital City tonight. I wonder if he'll come and see me. The chair in the foyer of the governor's mansion is hard and uncomfortable. I sit stiffly trying to read a magazine. At the desk in the corner sits a state policeman poring over a crossword puzzle. It is almost 7 o'clock, and Steve has been with him over an hour. What's that, officer?
Pension marchers setting out fireworks. I'm going to give the governor a torchlight parade tonight. Thank him for all he done for him.
Old people?
Yeah. Brought him from all over. Sent the school buses after him.
Oh, they must think a lot of the governor.
They know better not to come. He was rounded up and told. If they want them checks, they better march, and they know it. Listen to him, will you?
Mary, honey.
Steve.
I'm sorry I was so long. Will you come in here, please?
It looks good, darling. Things look very good. Darling? Darling, I want you to meet Governor Kanger.
This is your wife, eh, Steve?
I'm very honored, Governor.
Sit down, girl. I'll be quick.
Thank you.
She dresses too fancy. Get her some clothes like poor folks wear. Make her don't be afraid to sweat. You hear, girl? I'm going to make your husband governor. You watch yourself. Don't get no scandal on you. And keep him off the booze, hear? All right, you can go now. Steve, you stay here. I want you to meet Pietro Bell. He's the money. You got to keep him happy if you're fixing to run.
We won't be long, honey. Wait outside, huh?
Yes, Steve. The trooper stares at me, wondering. I sit on the hard seat again, and I'm trapped. Trapped. Nowhere to go. Nothing to be done.
I want to see a friend of mine who's around here.
And I told you I'd lose my job if you come in here. You know what the governor said. Now, if you won't listen to me, maybe this will...
Oh, don't! Wait!
You know this fellow, ma'am?
Yes, he's a friend of mine.
You know, you better quit waving that club, Harrison. Someday the governor's going to be murdered, and people will wonder if you did it. Hello, Clary. You look swell.
He looks the same as ever. Tall, angular, slightly stooped. Owlish behind the horn-rimmed glasses.
Now, listen, you can't stay in here.
Okay. Sorry, Clary, I'm verboten in here. Where can I call you?
Wait, I'll walk outside with you, Hugh.
Now, ma'am, the governor...
Oh, you shut up! I'll do as I please. Come on, Hugh.
Magnificent.
Oh, they make me so mad sometimes with their self-importance.
Let's talk here. From what I hear, this will soon be your front porch anyway.
Hugh, I'm glad to see you. So glad. I've thought about you.
I've thought about you, Clary. I'm leaving here, you know.
I didn't know.
Going with the AP in Washington. Tomorrow. I'm glad I got to see you one more time.
You're leaving? For good?
There's nothing here for me anymore, Clary. Steve will probably be elected from what I hear.
It's horrible.
Don't you want to be the governor's wife?
It's these people. Master Kanger, Bell. Hugh, tell me what's going to happen to us. To Steve and me.
Steve has a magnificent opportunity in this state, Clary. He can stand up to these people. Even to Kanger. He can do a lot.
You're wrong. They're running Steve because he's weak and they can control him.
No, Clary. Listen, this gang knows the things they've been doing are going to blow wide open. They smell jail, and the only way they can prolong the stealing is by running someone with a name that means self-respect and decency. Sure, they want to control Steve, but he can balk them, Clary. He can make them sweat, if he has the courage.
If.
You still love him, don't you?
I don't know. He's changed so. This ambition to be governor's under his skin, it's eating him. Oh, Hugh. Hugh, hold me. Hugh, just for a minute, please.
Clary. Little Clary.
Hugh, do you still want me?
I never wanted anybody so much in my whole life.
Then let me go away with you. Away from here. Hugh, take me with you.
No, Clary. No, I won't be an escort out of Dublin, honey.
I don't understand.
That's Professor talk. You see, I love you, Clary.
Hugh, us.
Oh, always have, with each separate nerve. But you've never loved me.
I do.
No, Clefty. Those months when Steve was sick and you were in trouble, I was a comfort to you. You didn't have to mother me the way you did Steve. But in your eyes, I'm an IQ, not an equal. You love Steve the only way a man wants to be loved, Clary. You'll get used to politics. You'll even get used to being the governor's wife.
You don't patronize me. Steve has no business being governor. It'll kill him. It'll kill me. He isn't going to stand up to Kanger. He's going to make a doormat of himself just the way he has all of his pitiful, tortured life.
You don't give him respect, Clary.
Respect? Do you know what it's like watching a fine, handsome man crawling like a two-month-old, begging for a drink?
It's a sickness. It's outside moral judgment.
Oh, Hugh, for heaven's sake, take me with you.
No, Clary. You've a job. Running off with me wouldn't help. It'd kill Steve. It'd kill you. It'd kill me. There's no happiness in it for anybody.
One of us is a coward, Hugh. You for not taking me, or me for wanting to run away.
Morality makes us both cowards. Goodbye, Clarence.
Don't go yet.
Goodbye.
I'll come after you, Hugh. I'll come to Washington.
I don't think you're leaving. My luck to be...
Oh, Hugh. Hugh. Oh, you.
Honey, what the devil are you doing out here? You're holding up the works.
I wanted some fresh air.
Fresh air? Oh, listen, honey, we're supposed to ride in that parade, the second car. You can't keep a governor waiting.
Steve, please.
You've got to show some consideration, honey.
Steve, let's not quarrel. Please, I'll do anything, but don't let's quarrel now. I couldn't stand it.
Okay, honey, okay. Well, say, honey, everything's fixed. Bell says okay. I rang the bell, do you hear? All I have to do now is meet that bunch of Kanga leaders at 10 o'clock, and we're in. Oh, don't that make you happy, honey?
Yes, Steve. I'm very, very happy. The limousine is a dark, soft cradle. We roll along the tree-shrouded street where a ragged crowd stares without enthusiasm. Behind us, the band plays, and the old-age pensioners sing in a ragged falsetto. And over it all, I feel the shadow of evil.
After the parade, honey, we go back to the mansion for some barbecue, and then at 10 o'clock I meet the bosses. If they say okay, well, that's it. I'm in. What's the matter? I wonder why we're stopping.
Steve, that man on the curb, he's coming toward our car.
What the devil is
he want? Steve's got something in his hand. He's going to throw it at us. Steve, look out!
Run this for governor, you canker hound!
It's all right, honey. It's all right. It's all right. They got him.
Steve, don't let them kill him. Oh, Steve.
All right. Yes, we're all right, officer. He threw something into the car.
Now, let's have a look. Well, a skunk. A dead skunk.
Good. Is the man who threw it all right?
All right? Well, now, I wouldn't exactly say he's all right. He's dead.
Yes, but he only...
We can't take any chances, lady.
It might have been a bomb, honey.
But it wasn't. Doesn't it matter that it wasn't?
Oh, you're taking this much too hard, honey. Now sit back and relax. Come on. Get that thing out of here, will you, officer?
My pleasure, sir.
All right, driver. You smell it? It's really not as bad as you think. Being thrown in here like that.
The crowd is quiet now. A man is dead. What prompted that final futile gesture of defiance? A dead skunk thrown into a car. Are there more like him? I look as we move along at a silent, staring, faceless throng. Their silence screams at us. Beware.
Listen, honey. I got an idea. Let's get out of here, huh? We can find a nice quiet place somewhere and have something to eat, and then I can come back here by 10 o'clock to meet Kanga's bosses. What do you say?
Oh, Steve, I'd love it. Honestly, I'd just love it.
All right, darling, come on. Come on, we can duck out here and walk up the main street. There's a place up here called Pete's Gardens, just way up here.
Oh, it's good to be quiet.
Yeah, it's been a big day, all right. The biggest in my life, I reckon.
It isn't over yet. Suppose Kanga doesn't want to run you.
Oh, they'll want me, honey. Why, did you hear that crowd when I stood up after the parade? Yeah, they'll want me, all right.
You want it pretty bad, don't you?
Lee, honey, I don't just want it. I hunger for it. I hunger for it. I never felt like this before. Well, except when I was drunk, maybe. But I ain't drunk now. I'm sober. And this is real, honey. This is it.
Stop a minute, Steve.
What is it, honey?
Kiss me. Kiss me hard. Hard, Steve. Hard.
Oh, Ree. Ree, I need you so much now. So much, honey.
And I need you. I know it now. I meet you, Steve, confused, stumbling, doomed, with a wonderful, simple kind of need I've never felt for anybody else. Not for you, not for anyone.
Well, now this is what I call a steak, woman. Why don't you learn to put garlic on meat this way?
Governors don't eat garlic.
Well, this governor's going to eat a whole bale full every day. Oh, say, honey, what time is it?
Only 9. Plenty of time.
Oh, it's nice being alone with you, Lee.
Look at me, Steve. Full in the eyes. Yes, I love you.
Listen. Hey, honey, listen to that. That's my name there shouting. By golly, Ree, you know what? I wouldn't do it, of course, but I believe I could take a drink tonight, just one drink, and stop right there.
Think so?
Oh, I knew it.
Would you like something to drink, sir?
No, thanks.
Waiter.
Yes, ma'am?
2 scotch and water.
Clearly.
That's all, waiter.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, when did you start drinking? And why 2?
I want to prove something.
What?
I want to see you take a drink, Steve. Just one drink. And then stop.
Clary, I swore I'd never take another drink. I've licked it.
That isn't licking it, Steve. Well, you haven't licked it until you can take it or leave it. There's no choice, and someday you'll start feeling low or sorry for yourself again, and wham. But if you had the control to take one drink and stop...
Clary, you don't know what you're doing, honey.
Yes, I do. That first drink that's got you frightened, it's always there, always in the back of your brain, whispering, come on, take me, and I'll destroy you.
I don't know. I don't know, Clary. You've always been there to say no for me.
Well, sometimes you've got to say it for yourself. I won't be there every time, Steve.
Honey, whenever I've been tempted, I've thought Clary would be ashamed of me. I can't do this to her. And now you're telling me it's all right.
Yes.
Your drink, sir.
What am I doing? He won't be able to stop. I know that. I know it as I know I'm a woman. It'll start again. The old cycle. The sodden nights and days of insecurity with Steve raving drunk. The horrible beatings. And the sly, sly patronage of psychiatrists for both of us. But at least I know this. I can meet that and deal with it. This other, this evil slime into which he's being dragged. I can lose him to that. He can lose what little self he has. So I will enjoy it. And this time there'll be no Hugh. Nobody to run away with. Nothing. Nothing but Steve. Well, darling?
I can do it, Clary. I can do it. I'm confident, Clary.
Yes, to us, Steve.
To us. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, that feels good. I can feel it spreading, honey. Oh, I've needed that, Clary. I've needed it for 8 months now.
Would you excuse me a moment, darling? Powder my nose.
Don't be long, dear.
I won't.
Oh. Waiter.
Yes, sir?
Another one, please. And make it quick, will you?
Yes, sir. I understand, sir.
Give me the number of the Star Ledger, please. 7800. Thank you. Oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me for what I'm doing.
Star Ledger, McCloskey.
Hello. Is this the newspaper that's supporting the reform candidate this year?
We're supporting anybody who runs against the Kanger machine.
Well, if you'd like to see the Kanger's candidate for governor make a public spectacle of himself, send a photographer to Peace Garden on Sapphire Street.
Oh, Marie. Well, you took so long, I ordered another drink, honey. Just one drink. Don't do it somehow. It leaves me kind of shaky, honey. I don't want to be shaky when I meet those Kanger leaders. Do I? Do I, Ree?
No, Steve.
You know, it's a funny thing, Ree. But I've been thinking. You know that big picture of my father? The one that New York artist painted?
I know the one.
Well...
Your drink, sir?
Oh, thank you, thank you. I've been thinking, honey. When I'm governor, we're going to hang that picture right over the front door of the mansion. Yes, sir, when I'm Governor Ree, I'm... Ree, do you hear me?
Yes, darling. I hear you.
You have heard Shadow of Evil by James Aswell. The adaptation is by George Lefferts of NBC. In tonight's cast, Steve was Wally Mayer. Clary was Kay Stewart. Pete was David Wolfe. Hurd was Earl Lee. The trooper was Shep Mencken. Kanger was Nestor Paiva. Hugh was Donald Woods. The waiter was Marty Warren. Your announcer, Don Stanley. The director of NBC Presents Short Story is Andrew C. Love. Be with us next week at this same time as NBC presents Short Story. Next week, we bring you a story by one of America's greatest living writers, William Faulkner. The story, Honor. Hear it next week. And in the meantime, bear in mind this message from the United States Marine Corps. A brand new Marine at boot camp learns things about his Corps and his country which tend to change his outlook. These changes aren't confined to his attitude alone. He also changes physically. Boot camp training has a tendency to slim down the heavy ones and fill out the light ones. Boot camp training is rugged, designed to get a man into the best physical condition in the shortest possible period of time. This explains in part the fine physical stamina of the United States Marine. It also helps account for the powerful bond of friendship and mutual respect you find among Marines. This feeling has its roots in boot camp, for boot camp provides a significant and unforgettable experience. An experience shared by every man who becomes a member of the United States Marine Corps. Remember, when you give to the Red Cross, your gift is a lift to our fighting men. Tomorrow, listen for authentic and exciting Dragnet on NBC.